This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I've thrown Dave in the deep end up there on the computer, so just do your best, mate. No one else keeps up with me or knows where I'm going either, so it's all good. But if you can start with that first verse, the next slide, I think it is. Paul's prayer. This is the prayer I finished our men's breakfast with. This is a prayer that I've read probably 15 to 20 times this week. And it's the prayer that I feel like the Father wants every single one of you to experience this morning. I want you to know I have no problems with babies just chatting away. It's a beautiful sound. It really is. You really are precious. And Paul says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I have the sense that Paul wasn't just saying this is a nice quiet prayer. I reckon he was boldly and loudly declaring it. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the Father's love, or is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's really interesting, because not too long after that, John, on the Isle of Patmos, as he begins to write Revelation, writes some letters to the churches. And this is his prayer to the Ephesians church. Revelation chapter 2, the first letter John writes, the first thing that God shows John for the church. And he writes it to the church of Ephesus. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, I write. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people that have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and endured hardships in my name and have not grown weary. Sounds like a pretty good recommendation, doesn't it? Sounds like they're doing all right. Yet, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come and remove the lampstand from its place. And as I read those two things, and I read the prayer, Paul's prayer, that what was he wanting first and foremost above all else for the church in the Ephesians? This book that starts out, and we've talked about that he predestined from the beginning of time. He looked through the history of mankind and he said, I predestine them to be my child. They've got a choice whether they accept it, but my desire is that every human being that is created in the image of God will know that they are fully adopted, that they are children of God. And then he goes on, what does it mean to be alive in Christ? He talks about how there is no divide, Jews, Gentiles, all of those things. And then Paul gets to a point in this book and he pauses and he stops. And he says, now you know all these things, but remember it's all about being full of Christ and him alone. Because who knows, if we're full of something, there's no room for anything else. If I am go to an all-you-can-eat buffet and I gorge myself on food, I'm not going to call in for Krispy Kremes on the way home unless I really want to be sick, because it's not going to stay there long, because it just can't stay. Sorry for the image. We have an enemy of our soul that wants us to be full.
It's sorted out.
Anyone who's close to me knows that I don't. But I long to be there. And I hope that today I'm a lot closer than where I was yesterday to being full of him. So, Father, may the fullness of who you are fill us, so that we become so full of you that we can do nothing more than just overflow you into the circumstances around us. Father, will you convict us by your Holy Spirit, not to bring condemnation, but to bring freedom and wholeness. In Jesus' name. That's why God calls us to repent. He doesn't call us to repent because he's sitting there with a big stick in your face saying, if you don't deal with your stuff. And even in this prayer to the Ephesians church, he's not saying, I'm going to pull that lampstand away but I can't do it. If you're not making me first, if you're not being full of me, if you're not pursuing me, then I can't pour out your protection. I can't, your light will go out. It's your choice. I don't know who said that, but someone said it. Thanks, Elaine. It is. It's our choice. I know some of the things that are happening in my personal life. And I wish I could just go and everything fixed for the people I love. I wish I could just go, let's get rid of all those things. I wish I could. And I don't understand why God sometimes allows us to stay in the hard times in those things. But Scripture does say, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because out of that you will build character and perseverance and all of the things you're going to need. So you've got to remember that Paul is writing this while he is in a rat-infested, feces-infested jail cell. It wasn't like a jail cell we know today. It was underneath the cities, and it would have had all the stuff flowing through. It would have been moldy. It would have been cold. It would have been disgusting beyond what you know. And he's writing, be filled with the fullness of who he is. Because that's how you're going to survive it. If you're not challenged a little bit by it, well, because I am. And what is the effect if you go in and you read through Ephesians? When we are full of him, can I just have that next slide, please? When we are full of love, we are empowered to live our lives being holy. Do you think God puts it in Scripture, be holy as I am holy, because he's just putting it out there as a pipe dream? Too often we've had more faith in our capacity to sin than God's capacity to overcome so that I could actually live a holy life. It's actually his desire for us. When we're so full of him and his spirit, rather than having this tenacity to go to sin, we're going to have a tenacity to turn to his holiness and his righteousness. We're going to be naturally righteous rather than being naturally sinners because we're full of him. Not because of anything I do, but because he's in me. We're not called to sit there and go and beat ourselves up. Because when we're beating ourselves up over our sin, we're saying the cross isn't good enough. He said, it's finished. I've paid the price. We can't put Jesus on the cross again. He's not coming back to go to the cross again. He's done it. So you can be righteous and holy. Dead to old man. Alive in Jesus. This is good news. We should be excited by this. This should propel us to tell others. Not because we want to see so many people saved from the grips of hell, and that's a good motivator. But do you know what's a better motivator? We want every person that we meet to know they are loved beyond anything else. That there is a God of the universe that is looking down and he goes, oh, they're precious. This is my child. We're called to be humble because when we realize that it's nothing about ourselves and it's all about him, it's not humble going, oh, I'm a dirty, rotten person. No, it's humble going, I get to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you've never been in a moment when worship or in those times where you just go, God's presence would turn up and I'm just in awe. Imagine if we live like that every single day in every aspect of our world. People might just get to see the love and the grace and the majesty of God through those moments. We're called to be gentle. On the flip side, it does say the kingdom will take it by force. The kingdom's not this passive, laid-back stuff. The kingdom wants to, God's kingdom wants to destroy the kingdom of darkness so that you can live in the glorious light. When we are full of Him, we will be generous in love. You'll be able to love extraordinary, those extra grace required people. We've all got them. God places them in our lives for a reason. And mostly it's for you or me. How are you going to love them? Some days I do okay. Other days, oh, not so good. I need more of His love so I can love extraordinarily. And I want to grow in it. But that's the byproduct of being full of His love. And if each of us are full of His love, the byproduct is unity. But it also says in Ephesians 4 that we're to fight for that unity between us. Because who knows? The enemy doesn't want us to be a unified church because he knows the result. So are you willing to fight for your brothers and sisters? Not physically. I challenged the boys yesterday. I said, when was the last time, guys, that you actually walked up to someone of your friends and you asked them how their heart's going? How you doing? How's your heart state? Where are you at with God? Do you know how much you're loved by Him? And I said to the guys yesterday, I can't do that for everyone. The reality is, even in a room, and even though we're a relatively smallish church, I will not know all of you deeply at a heart level because it's impossible for me to do that. We all need our two or three that we're really close with. But one of the things I love about Trev is that Trev will say, g'day, how you doing? But then the next question is, how you really doing? And quite often it's looking me in the eyes and I don't really want to answer him, because to actually admit that I'm not doing so well is sometimes hard to admit. But I've just grown to trust Him, and because I trust Him, I can share my heart with Him and He can share His heart with me. And we need to have people in our lives. We all need people in our lives. One of the greatest weapons of the enemy is isolation. And I'm telling you right now, there is no lone rangers of the kingdom, and if you think there is, then you're in the wrong kingdom. Because we're created for relationship with Him, and then we're created for relationship with each other. The church is God's idea. It's His plan A. It's been dysfunctional and it's hurt people and it's been hard. Absolutely. There wouldn't be a person in this room that hasn't been hurt by people in church. And if you haven't been, you probably haven't been around long. Because people hurt each other. There's going to be a day when I'm going to say something that's going to hurt you. And it's up to whether you actually have a heart connection with me enough to be able to go, Jace, when you did that, when you said that, I don't know. I trust that your heart wasn't to hurt me, but it did. Can we talk about it? It's just a part of life. It's a hard part of life. But if we learn how to do that well, we'll learn to love each other better through those moments. But quite often what actually happens, those dirty, rotten humans hurt me again. I'm not going to trust anybody. And I've been there. 6 months ago when, or probably 7 months ago when God started tapping me on my heart that I want you to step back in and I want you to take on the role of pastor at my home. I'm going to get lost. I'm not going there again. Ask Michelle, she used other words. Sorry, Shel. I love you. But I actually realised that the call of God was on my life, and for me to run away from it would actually be, to use David's illustration, I would have been eaten on lentil stew. And I'm going to finish with this. The end of Ephesians talks about the armour of God. How do we fight for each other? How do we support each other? Now, I've heard many, many sermons on the armour of God. You've got to read your Bible more. You've got to pray more. If you're not praying and if you're not reading, then you're not dressed in the armour. Well, it's true. But if I'm completely in love with someone, I want to spend every minute of every day with them, even when they hurt me. So if I'm fully in love with Jesus and I'm full of his love, I'm going to want to hang out here because I know that he's going to live and breathe through it and it's going to come alive and it's going to be vibrant and it's going to be great. Because it actually says, step into the armor that I have provided. What is he saying? We are in Christ. I think I shared a vision a while ago that I had one prayer meeting night where Jesus, in his vision, walked up to me and then walked inside of me. That's what it looks like to be dressed in the armor. And the byproduct of that is that we will read the word. We will pray. We will worship. And we will have our undivided attention. And we'll have our radar out for our brothers and sisters, because that's the byproduct of being fully loved by him. There was an image on there somewhere, David, of armor bearers together. There you go. Should have made it bigger. Imagine if we were like that as a church. Shields interconnected. Ready to go. And you know what our warfare is? Worship and prayer. We don't battle against flesh and blood. He uses flesh and blood to get our attention. He uses flesh and blood to hit our insecurities. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We are in a war against principalities and powers that their whole agenda on life is to destroy you. And God says, I'm going to put you in a body of believers and you're going to be interconnected with each other and you're going to see victory over darkness. You're going to see victory over those things. How? When you worship together. When you pray, when you seek my face. And it's one of the reasons why we're going to finish our time of worship. I'm going to invite the team to come now. So are you willing to go to battle with each other right now? No, not 5 minutes down the track. Now. Not next Sunday. Now, are you willing to battle for each other? Let's worship together. Let's adore our God. Let's seek him. Let's praise him together, because we need each other. Let's worship him. Guys, for those that were in the men's ministry, you know that I talk probably a little more bluntly with guys than, well, I've talked pretty bluntly this morning. But I want to challenge every man in this place. One of the big things that I hear from blokes, I don't like worship. Get over it. You're going to hate heaven. Just saying. 24/7 praise before the throne. Guys, I'm actually inviting you today. I'm actually calling you up. Passivity has been a massive thing for men across this nation. And if you look at the media of the way men are portrayed like useless fools. Have a look at The Simpsons. We've got a Homer Simpson generation of men. Good for a party because people laugh at them. And this is no offense to the women in our church, because I love you. And our church wouldn't survive without you. But it's time for the men to arise too. We need to be walking along side by side with each other. if you can get passionate about a car project, if you can get passionate about the footy, if you can get passionate about the thing that you believe you love the most, then how about we start getting passionate about our God? In worship going, I don't like the songs. That's good, because it's not about you. It's about him. Oh, I don't like that tune. Oh, well. I'm calling you up. I'm inviting you. What if it was the men that were at the front of the church first every Sunday morning to worship?
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to that.
I've been in a shed with 40 blokes worshipping God. In a men's ministry I ran back in New South Wales. We sang How Great He's Our God, I don't know how many times. And I can tell you there was probably another 200 angels worshipping with us in the room, because the intensity and the presence of God in that room was something that blessed me no end. And I say, I do this because I want to encourage the men, not because I want to discourage the women. Because I want to encourage you too. But it's time for husbands and wives to walk beside each other. It's time for the church to be full of men that young women look at and go, there's a safe bloke that I'm willing to give my heart to. And to be honest, guys, there's been times in my life I haven't been safe. And I shared some of those things with you yesterday. But I want to be the safest person in this place. For two purposes. Three, actually. One, because I love my God. Two, because my wife deserves to have a husband that stands side by side with her. And has got her back. Even when I bug her. And thirdly, my kids need an example so that they can be the kind of husbands that their future wives deserve. As a personal mission statement, you've just heard it. It's what I try to do. And then obviously there's corporate stuff as well, but those things are so important to me. So I want to invite you now to come and worship in spirit and truth. I want you to declare, I want you to open your voice. If you don't know the words and you've got a voice that sounds like a foghorn, don't worry about it, because God turns it, makes a joyful noise into worship. You've heard me sing. So let's join together in worship. I don't know how long this is going to go for. My message went far longer than I thought it would. And let's choose, like David started our time this morning with, let's choose the better thing. Let's choose him, not the lentil stew. Let's choose him. Let's worship together. I believe there is going to be manifestations of the kingdom. I believe people are going to get healed. I believe God's going to touch people. If tears come for you, let them flow. Let's get passionate to worship our God and love.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.com.